This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the second Saturday in the month of August. And Uncle Ralph, in 3 weeks' time, we're going to be talking high school football results
Friday.
From week one. How about that?
Football Friday is upon us.
Yes, it is. And I was thinking about it yesterday with the season coming up, and obviously the camps are going on now, whether it's high school, college, or pro, and what a difference a year makes in terms of the weather. I remember we sat here a year ago talking about the concern we had for these high school athletes out there practicing in such stifling heat that was well over 100 degrees for as long as it was. And here we are this year, more like spring or fall.
Yeah, and while we were eating breakfast this morning, I looked at the long-range forecast, temperatures in the low 80s, good ways down the way, guy.
I think all the way through next week, and by the time we get through next week, I mean, August is half over, and historically, by the time we get to the first week of September, it may be warm, but we're not going to get 95-degree days, you wouldn't think, in September.
But it's a different kind of heat, Tim, because when you get into late August or early September, that sun has started its decline down, and it's not right over your head just pouring down on you like it is in June and July.
Yeah,
that makes a big difference.
That makes a big difference. You say pouring down, and boy, yesterday, Jack Clark got it poured down on him big time as he made some comments regarding Albert Pujols. And you never know what's going to transpire, Uncle Ralph. Here we do the sports show on Saturday morning, and we didn't really know what we were going to talk about today. High school sports not really in full swing. We'll obviously hit on the Cardinals. They're awful right now. A variety of other things going on in sports, but suddenly – this story with Albert Pujols and Jack Clark has really become the top story in the sports world after Jack Clark accused Albert Pujols flat out on the radio that he got, quote, shot up with steroids by a trainer. And Jack Clark says he knew this 10 years ago but kept quiet and decided to talk about it on the first week of his radio show, which he's already been fired from, after 7 days.
You know,
whole days.
Maybe the thing on the radio show wasn't going too good, so they thought they'd jazz it up a little bit.
They jazzed it up all right.
But you better have some pretty staunch evidence when you go to making those kind of accusations. And because of Albert Pujols, what he done from day one when he came to the Cardinals, probably there were some people who said, yeah, this guy's shooting up because he couldn't be that strong and he couldn't hit a ball that far without it. But there's never been anything proven to that degree, so as they always say, if the old dog's asleep, let him sleep.
That's exactly right, and that's the unfortunate reality that Major League Baseball players find themselves in now with all the steroid scandals that have come to light here in the last number of years. And unfortunately, baseball players are all just assumed guilty until otherwise proven. It's a sad state, but baseball has nobody to blame but themselves for that. But I've often wondered, whenever these athletes get accused of certain things and they come out and say, I didn't do it, and they issue their denial, which Albert did, we'll get to his statement in a moment, but I've also wondered, why don't you sue? If you're innocent and this person has defamed you, why don't you sue? Well, Albert is going to sue,
and I'm sure that Albert feels that he has valid reason to sue, and I'm sure that Albert can afford to hire a lawyer to sue.
I would imagine he's going to get a pretty good attorney.
But, it's unfortunate. Baseball right now is going through some pretty tough times with all this stuff, and there's a lot of things I don't understand, and I know it's how the the laws, so to speak, are set up governing this kind of stuff in baseball. But why you suspend a guy throughout the entire 2014 season, I'm speaking to A-Rod, why is this guy allowed to play out the rest of the season, even though he is protesting?
Well, because there's always an appeals process, and this case was just so public. Normally, these guys appeal before anybody knows about it.
Yeah.
And that was just – it is very odd. It's very odd. And the other thing you can't really figure out is these guys that are suspended for 50 games, they can come back and be eligible for the postseason. Johnny Peralta of the Tigers.
Sure.
Nelson Cruz of the Rangers. So it's just
one
of those – odd things. But here's part of Albert Pujols' statement that he released last night. Quoting, "I've said time and time again that I would never take or even consider taking anything illegal. I've been tested hundreds of times throughout my career, and never once have I tested positive. It is irresponsible and reckless for Jack Clark to have falsely accused me of using PEDs. My faith in Jesus Christ and my respect for this game are too important to me. I would never be able to look my wife or kids in the eye if I had done what this man is accusing me of. I know people are tired of athletes saying they are innocent, asking for the public to believe in them, only to have their sins exposed later down the road. But I am not one of those athletes, and I will not stand by to have my name and my family's name dragged through the mud." End quote. That was Albert Pujols' statement, and then he went on to say that he is currently taking legal action against Jack Clark and WGNU 920 AM. That's the station where Clark and Kevin Slayton used to work before they got canned early in the morning. But good for Albert. I mean, that statement right there is strong, and it's really no different than what we've heard from Albert over the course of years. You remember when the Mitchell report came out in 07, his name was supposedly on there. It wasn't.
Yeah.
This trainer that Jack Clark says injected Pujols in the early 2000s or whatever was supposedly in this report. He wasn't. So it sounds like Jack Clark bit off a little bit more than he can chew. And it's the difference, Uncle Ralph, between having an opinion and then stating your opinion as fact. In America, you're entitled to have any opinion that you want. That's what makes this country so great. You can have any opinion about any topic that you want. But the minute you try to make your opinion fact, that's where you get in trouble. If Jack Clark would have said, "I think he has done this," hey, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. But the minute he says, "I know he did it for a fact," whoa, buddy, you better have some evidence to back that up.
That's pretty concrete when you make that kind of statement. And take this thing one step farther, Tim, you know, the last month. And I know the baseball fans and the fans of sports in general are tired of hearing all about steroids and A-Rod and all this stuff. But in your reference to Albert there and what he did, we have all, excuse me, from one time to another been Bud Selig bashers.
Right.
But I have to take my hat off to the commissioner. I think he has come to the forefront in this matter and is trying to get this mess cleaned up. I sincerely believe that he's trying to do what's right for Major League Baseball to put an end to this kind of stuff going on.
I totally agree. And there's been so much talk when the last few weeks when he's been cleaning it up about, it's disingenuous because he didn't do anything before. No, he didn't. But you know what? He couldn't do anything before because the union wouldn't allow it to happen.
Right.
Now once the union started to play ball after those congressional hearings, that's when old Bud was able to get that drug testing program in. And he is cleaning the game up. There's no question about that. I mean, and they're going after the big guys. You know, when you're suspending former MVPs like Ryan Braun and Alex Rodriguez, that just shows everybody that you're serious. You're not playing favorites.
Right now, as you and I sit here and speak on WSMI Saturday Morning Sports, right now, there is three of this year's All-Stars have been suspended for using illegal enhancing performance drugs.
That's right, and it sounds like the penalties will get maybe stiffer moving forward. Hopefully that will dissuade some people from doing the performance enhancing drug route.
And getting back to A-Rod and allowing A-Rod to play out probably the rest of the year, I realize there's all kinds of gobbledygook in the setup. But the point to me is what makes A-Rod playing kind of senseless is he isn't going to do anything.
Right.
He's washed up. The guy's washed up.
Oh, yeah.
And the Yankees aren't going nowhere. They're out of it for the year. You know, their numbers are bad, and they're not doing anything. So it's just kind of like I don't know.
Well, I'm with you, Uncle Ralph. I think deep down, A-Rod knows that he's going to be suspended all of next year.
Yeah.
And that he's going to be not be able to play after that. So this is basically his last hurrah.
Yeah.
He's going out on the field, because once he's suspended for all next year, which I think is what's going to happen, he's going to be done. He's going to be pushing 40.
Regardless of what happens to his appeal, I think he's going to be set out a year of suspension. And after that, at his age, you'll be close to 40 years old. And, you know, for all intent and purposes, his career will be over. Yep.
I think he's feeling the impact of it now, because every ballpark he's going to from here on out, he's going to get booed heavily.
That's true.
And even in his home stadium.
But let's be honest. He was getting booed heavily everywhere he went, including his home stadium, before this came out. He's just a lightning rod with the contract he has, and just kind of the way he conducts and carries his own business. He's just kind of asking for people to not like him.
And you know, this thing is twofold. You look at Albert Pujols, and you look at A-Rod. Two entirely different ways of approaching your career. A-Rod has always been flamboyant on and off the field, womanizing in the things he has done. You've never heard any of this about Albert. So, you know, I think A-Rod's probably getting what come to him. Maybe he should have been suspended from baseball for forever. I don't know.
Well, you wonder. He basically is, though. He's going to go out in shame. Yeah. He's not going to be banned for life. But he's basically going to face the same result of that. The end result is going to be the same for him. His time in Major League Baseball is done. We need to take a break. Back with more Sports Saturday in just a moment.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:16, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 80 degrees. Clear and cooler for tonight. Expect a low tonight of around 60. Sunny skies continuing on for tomorrow. Expect a high of around 85 degrees on Sunday. An extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Mostly clear. Expect highs in the low 80s. The lows will be in the round 60 degrees. At 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods of Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Tired of always having to clean up the basement or crawl space after a rain? You need to call Midwest Basement Tech for a permanent solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, Midwest Basement Tech is the company to call. 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons and your chance of receiving free tickets to watch your St. Louis Cardinals play at home this season.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And the big news today is that Albert Pujols is suing Jack Clark and the radio station that he used to work for his statements about Pujols and performance-enhancing drugs. And Uncle Ralph, I want to say, this about Albert and the steroid era. If you think about it, for the most part, guys who are on steroids had changes in their numbers and then a drastic drop in performance once they were off of the juice, so to speak. My thing with Albert is this. He was consistent from the day he showed up. And his numbers have begun to go down the last 4 years. And people, I don't understand this. People want to say that that's proof that he was on steroids because now there's testing, he's not on them, and he's breaking down. I look at it the complete other way. His decline is a natural decline. Yeah, when people aren't on steroids, their body starts to break down in their mid-30s. That's the way it works. So he was at a plateau, and then his numbers have slowly gone down the last 4 years. It wasn't just a drop off of a cliff. It's been a slow, natural decline. And to me, that just shows that, in my opinion, I don't think that he took performance-enhancing drugs. Because of that, there's no spike in performance, and there's no drastic drop-off.
And I think this is one of the reasons that weighed heavily in the Cardinals' decision not to give him that humongous amount of money. They realized that Albert had been around a good while and probably, you know, I don't care whether it's pro baseball, pro football, basketball, you name it, but when you pound your body like these pro athletes do day after day for two-thirds of the year,
it's year-round now with the off-season workouts.
Absolutely, because you have to keep yourself in shape. You can understand that Albert is probably at that time that he's going to be backing off a little, maybe not a whole lot. He'll still be a tremendous ball player, but, hey, his better years are probably back there.
And I think we got so accustomed in the steroid era to guys performing at 34, 35, that it almost became the norm where we expected, oh, that's normal. That's not normal.
Yeah.
You know, a player gets to 32, 33, they start to decline.
Yeah.
Some guys don't. You know, there's always exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, when you play and think about the number of injuries that Albert played through over the course of his career, that catches up with you when you get into your mid-30s. And if he was on stuff, it would have come out.
You
look at A-Rod going down, Ryan Braun going down, all these guys that have gone down. He has never been in any report. He wasn't in the Mitchell report. There was a lot of players in the Mitchell report. Albert wasn't one of them. If he was on what Jack Clark says he was on during the period he says, he would be in that report.
And it'll be interesting, these guys that, as I mentioned a while ago, three of them were in the All-Star game this year. They get their 50 games over, and they will be eligible for the playoffs. It'll be interesting how they perform after they've been
off.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if they perform or how they perform. You know, getting back to this whole mess and with A-Rod and all this, I have to think in the back of my mind how situations is handled. And looking at the Yankees, I have to think back in my mind, how would George have handled all this, Mr. Steinbrenner?
Differently.
It would have been handled much differently.
I have a feeling that old George probably would have told A-Rod to buzz off.
Yeah.
We're going to give you your money,
but
you'll never put on those pinstripes again.
Because that would have been no problem to Steinbrenner. Said, I'm going to write you out a check. Here's your money, and you're gone.
And that, you know, you start looking around the different organizations in the steroid era. The Yankees, and it's sad. I mean, they're the most recognizable sports brand in the world, probably.
Yeah.
And it appears that they have more ties and more dirt on their hands when it comes to the steroid era than just about any other club. I mean, they even had a couple of their minor leaguers and lower-level players that were suspended in this Biogenesis scandal along with A-Rod. But you go back, they had Clemens. You know, they had Pettit.
Yeah.
They had Giambi. I mean, they've had a lot of these guys that have admitted –
and big
not
name,
alleged, they've admitted.
Big that name ball player.
Big name ball player. So the Yankees kind of find themselves right smack in the middle of this whole steroid era. And that's sad. That's sad to me.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. And you notice that a lot of this stuff started to hit the Yankees and the decline of the Yankees when, once again, old George was no longer around.
Well, you know, when you rule with an iron fist like that man did for the decades that he did, once he's gone, there's gonna be a power struggle.
Yeah,
you know, it's a rudderless ship. Everyone's trying to get to that top post there, and they're a mess.
and a lot of people, you hear a lot of people say, well, I had no use for George Steinbrenner. Now I say, no, wait a minute. Let's look back at the history of the Yankees when George Steinbrenner was there. Everybody hated him, but what did he do with his money? He put it right back in the team. Yeah, he bought ball players.
Isn't that what you want?
But he kept a winning team on the field year after year after year.
I mean, people love to hate the Yankees. People love to hate the East Coast, and that's fine. I got no problem with that. No. Hate away. But just think of the team, whoever you root for. I root for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Maybe you root for the Reds. Maybe you root for the Cubs. Maybe you root for the White Sox. Whatever team you root for in Major League Baseball, don't you wish that your owner pumped the money into your team like George Steinbrenner pumped into the Yankees? I do.
Sure.
You know? I mean, how many owners line their pockets?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they may charge, you know, $12 for a beer, but at least you know probably $9.50 of that's going back into the ball club.
And I think the Cardinals would give them credit. I think the Cardinals are a good example of this. They have reinvested into their ball club. They've reinvested into good stadiums for people to come and watch the game. And I think they've done a good job of using their money.
You're exactly right. And to me, the Cardinals have always known when to let a guy go.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, they have success with bringing in veterans who have had a down year. They bring them into St. Louis kind of restart their career. Berkman, of course. Look what Carlos Beltran has done. But the ability to let a guy go when you know that he's done. They did it with Albert. They didn't feel comfortable giving him a 10-year deal for all that money. They gambled, and they won.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, they replaced Albert with several players and just kept moving forward. And I think they knew then when they did that their farm system was about ready. Everything was in bloom, and it was about ready to harvest.
Yeah, that's right.
You mentioned George Steinbrenner. I'm a big fan of the E30 documentaries that ESPN has every once in a while, and they had the House of Steinbrenner. How many times? He spent money, and it refurbished the team and, you know, made his team competitive. But how many times did he help a former Yankee player that was in need with a job or with money so that way they could stay afloat?
That's stuff you never really hear about.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know what people are doing behind the scenes, you know, when the cameras are off. And we've been talking, obviously, about the Albert Pujols, Jack Clark thing. And that's why I tend to lean on the side of Albert. I have no idea.
No,
I have no idea if it's true. I don't know. No one knows.
We sit out here in the middle of a cornfield.
Yeah, how can we know? We don't know. What we have are opinions. That's what Jack Clark had, but he tried to make his opinion into a factual statement. But in my opinion, I've always felt that Pujols was a genuine person when he said the things that he says. You know, this day and age, you have a lot of athletes who will invoke God in the post-game interview.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel
right. has a phony ring to it.
It has a phony ring to it. But when I've heard Albert talk about that a number of times, and he always felt sincere to me. You know, all the good things that he has done to help children, to help people, no matter where he's at. He just seems like a good person. And maybe it's just because I want to believe him, but I believe him when he says that he couldn't look his wife and kids in the eye if he did what he's been accused of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe him when he says that. And you know, that's on me. Maybe I'm being naive. And if I am, so be it. But I believe the man when he says that. I've always thought, and I've said it for years, in my opinion, Albert's older than what his listed age is. I've always thought that. I just remember when he debuted as a 21-year-old kid. I was in college at the time, like 23. I remember sitting around with my buddies looking at this guy going, he's 21? No way.
Yeah.
No way. So I've always thought that he was, you know, 3 to 4 years older maybe than what he says. And if that's the case, there's no way to know. There's no way to know. But if that's the case, that would explain the decline. If he's 37 instead of 33 or whatever he is,
yeah.
I mean, that's it.
And this just to start with Albert Pujols, Tim, the Dominican players or players of Puerto Rico, wherever, have always kind of had that shadow over their head. Well, he's probably 3 or 4 years older. You go back to one of the greatest players to ever play the game, Roberto Clemente, who got killed in a tragic airplane, and everybody always said that Roberto was probably 3 or 4 years older than he.
And you know, who cares?
No.
Like, that's not cheating. That has nothing to do with anything. It just explains that when a guy at quote-unquote 33 starts to maybe break down faster than people think, maybe he's just a little bit older. And I believe there's no birth certificates in the Dominican Republic. I believe that that is how it works down there. And think about it from this way, Uncle Ralph. When you're 7 years old, if your mother tells you that you're 5 or tells you that you're 4, I'm 5 years old.
Mom said it was.
That's what mom said. So, I mean, how would you possibly know that? Then you just move forward from there. So that's always been my personal opinion on Pujols, is that he's probably a few years older than he's actually listed at. But I've never thought for a second that he used performance enhancing drugs. Never have.
And you hear the old argument. Well, why do pitchers pitch up into their 40, 41, 42, or 43? And my stat pad answer is, how often do they play?
Right.
Now, they only pitch every 4 or 5 days, which gives them a little more longevity. But then you can ask the same question. Yeah, well, how many of them pitch and perform successfully after 40?
Well, that's it, successfully. Many. You know, Jamie Moore, your pitch till he was 49, but he was getting rocked in his last. You look at a guy like Randy Choate, the left-handed specialist the Cardinals have in their bullpen. He's like 41 or 42, and he got a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Those old left-handers, what do they say? If you're left-handed and got a pulse, you can get a job.
And our favorite guy to talk about, 43 years old, Mariano Rivera.
Oh, man.
Look at him. And that guy's still throwing aspirins,
How about that? He blew one last night, but he came back and won.
Yeah, he came back and won, but he did blow a save opportunity. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if this nobody pulls in their horns, this Jack Clark and Albert deal. It'll be interesting to see when it gets into court what all turns out about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really will be. And
Albert might add a few million to what he already has.
Yeah, I don't think he needs it. And I don't know. I would imagine that if he actually won money, I could see him donating it all to charity.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
But for Pujols, this lawsuit, it's not about money.
No.
It's about his image, his reputation, and his life moving forward. Because let's be honest, if he did not file a lawsuit, sadly today, we talked about it before, you are guilty unless otherwise may be proved innocent. So if he did nothing about this, people would just assume, oh, he's guilty. He's another one of the cheats. And you know what? Then all of a sudden, the people who vote for the Hall of Fame, they might lump him into that category, and it may affect his Hall of Fame candidacy. So, to me, Albert did exactly what a ball player should do if they're innocent. Sue. Sue. Take it to court.
Yep. Take him to the court and see what happens.
And, of course, with the radio station firing Clark and Kevin Slayton, they're basically saying, hey, we did what we're supposed to do. You know, we're not responsible for what they say on the air. You know, their opinions are their opinions, but we've taken action to make sure they won't be on our airwaves again. So I think they're hoping that maybe they can get themselves removed from this lawsuit and have it just be Jack Clark. I don't know if that will happen, but the fact that they got taken off the air after 7 shows just baffled. It's funny to me because apparently he had brought it up twice.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the last point I want to make on the situation, then we'll move on to something else. If Jack Clark knew that Albert Pujols had been injected with steroids in 2000, before he even made his debut, he didn't debut until 2001. If he knew this, where you been?
Yeah.
Where you been, big boy? If you've been sitting on this information for over a decade, if you would have spoke up then, maybe you could have nipped the entire steroid era in the bud before it really spiraled out of control, but he didn't. He kept quiet because he wanted to keep his job as the Dodgers hitting coach. Now he's got a radio show and a platform, and he wants to get some ratings his first week on the air, so he brings this up.
I thought maybe he wanted to keep his job as manager of Springfield Sliders.
Ooh, he got fired from that? He seems to get fired from everything he does.
Yeah.
Big mouth. Gets you in trouble every time. But Uncle Ralph, you and I, we both have a big mouth. We both have strong opinions, but they're that. They're strong opinions.
Yeah.
They're opinions. When you try to make your opinion a fact, you get yourself in trouble, no matter what it may be.
Old Chinese proverb.
Uh-oh.
Put gunpowder on your toothbrush, sooner or later you're going to shoot your mouth off.
There you go. And that pretty much sums up what has just happened to Jack Clark and Kevin Slayton. So that was a very, very big story yesterday. And it's not over yet. It's still going to stay in the news for a little while. And the big story in Cardinal Nation is, my goodness, what happened to the offense?
What happened? And you know, I watched a little bit of the game last night, and while we're talking about that, I thought it was kind of humorous. I'm sure it wasn't to the Cardinals, but you can tell there's a little desperation creeping in now last night, because two guys, I think in the first inning, the second and third batters in the lineup, were called out on strikes, and then they turned around and argued the strike.
Right.
You know, was the pitch actually a strike? And I
big zone last night.
I sat there, yeah, and I sat there and grinned to myself, and I thought, well, wasn't you guys out on the field in the first half of the inning when the ump called Rizzo out on a ball that was not a strike? No way could have been a strike.
That's right. But that's what we always want from umpires, just consistency. I love a big zone.
Oh, yeah.
You
want to
have a big zone? Great.
Swing
call
at the
it
ball.
Call it for both teams all nine innings, and players will adjust.
Get the game over.
That's exactly right.
Get rid of them 3-2 counts. Get that game over. Get them guys up there, and, well, the ump's going to call out a strike, so I better swing at it.
Yeah.
You know?
The Cardinals were 25 games over 500 before they went out on that 11-game road trip. They were 25 games over 500.
Yeah.
Lost 7 in a row, won 3 out of 4. Now they've lost 4 out of 5. So they are just really in a bad, bad spot. And it's, for the most part, the offense. It was so consistent and great leading up until that road trip. And you wonder, Uncle Ralph, I'm not a big home run guy. You know, I personally think in this age of sabermetrics, people try to make the home run out to be the most important thing. I think it's overrated.
Well,
personally, it has its place, obviously, and it's a big play. But a guy who just hits home runs and strikes out 200 times, I don't want them on my ball club. But the Cardinals, the same team, same players last year that had a lot of power, this year just haven't had the home run power. They're hitting a lot of doubles, and what made them so good was they were stringing base hits together for long, extended rallies, and that's not happening now. Everybody kind of has gone into a tailspin at the same time.
Yeah, and when you get in those funks where you're losing these games like last night, you tend to, and you could see it on the field last night, guys out there standing around waiting for something to happen.
Waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
And you start to grip the bat a little bit tighter when you're standing in the box. And you always hear baseball managers, players talk about the great thing about baseball is you get to get right back out there the next day.
Yeah.
I think that's working against the Cardinals right now because
they
are messed up. Whether
it's
in their head, it's physical. They got all sorts of problems right now. They almost need the football thing. They need like a week off. Just get away from it, go decompress, think about something else, and come back with a fresh start. But obviously, that doesn't happen.
And you look at the bright side, if it wasn't for Kelly winning a couple games in this streak, the kid could have lost a couple more. You know, he's come on and pitched some pretty solid baseball for him, and all of a sudden, a couple of their ace pitchers can't win.
All of a sudden, Adam Wainwright can't get the opposing pitcher out.
No, he can't. He can't do the job.
Yeah, but they've pushed him back. He was supposed to start today. They're pushing Waino back to give him a few extra days, so he'll start the first game of the Pirates series on Tuesday. So that means Michael Wacha will be recalled, and he will get to start tonight for the Cardinals. And the other night, Carlos Martinez, one of their young studs, made his first major league start. And he took the loss, gave up a three-run homer that proved to be the difference. But, Uncle Ralph, I watched that game. He looked good.
Yeah,
there was a lot of infield hits and a lot of broken bat hits. One hard hit ball. It happened to go over the fence for a three-run homer, but he looked impressive to me.
And I tell you what, if you didn't think they were before, after that four-game series with the Dodgers, you have to say, hey, this is a pretty good ball club.
They look like the best team in the National League to me.
They do. Right now, they look better than the Pirates.
They look, yes. I mean, especially you get into a postseason series and you go Kershaw, Greinke in game one, then what was it, Ryu, a left-hander for game three. That's a legitimate playoff rotation right there.
And, you know, they started off terrible. The first part of the year, they just couldn't win, and now they've put it all together, and they're pretty solid, and they look very good.
And they were dead in the water that long ago. I mean, Don Mattingly was going to get fired. The Dodgers were going to get blown up. They were getting compared kind of the Red Sox and the Marlins of last year, this super team that was just underachieving, and all of a sudden that Yasiel Puig shows up, and Boy, they look like the best thing since sliced bread, don't they?
I tell you what.
You've seen a lot of ball players in your day, Uncle Ralph. What do you think of Yasiel Puig?
Well, you know, I can't look at a guy like him and say, yeah, this guy's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think he has to go. I always, it's kind of like a pitcher. A young phenom comes up, and boy, he just blows everybody away. But after he's been around the league and all the hitters have seen him a couple times, then he starts getting knocked around a little. And I think that's the way all the pitchers right now are looking for a guy to throw the looking for a place that this guy can't hit the ball.
Yep.
You know, is it high inside? Is it low and away? Is it the curveball? What is it that he's weak on? And they'll find something if he's got one.
And boy, does he play with some flair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's the kind of guy you want to go to the ballpark and watch.
Worth the price of admission.
Yeah, and if he keeps it up, well, he's going to be a great addition to their team, that's for sure.
And it was really when he showed up is when the Dodgers turned it around. And, boy, I think he's going to kind of be one of those lightning rod type of players. He's one of those guys. He plays with so much flair that I've never understood why flair rubs people the wrong way. You know, he did a couple things in the Cardinal series that made me kind of scratch my head. At one point, Wainwright threw a fastball under his chin the first pitch of the series to him. He didn't like it. Stared back out at the mound. Wainwright kind of stared back at him like, what, really, dude? Rook, you're going to stare me down? Do you know who I am?
Welcome to the National League.
Welcome to the show, son. But then on a 2-0 count, he fouled the pitch back, and I guess he thought he should have hit it out, and he just dropped his bat. Dropped his bat and walked out of the batter's box. And I was like, whoa, I've never seen that before. But, man, he has got some flair. He caught a ball running into the alley the other night and didn't even take it out of the glove with his hand. He just flipped it with his glove to the center fielder as he was running by him. And, obviously, if the center fielder would have dropped it, it wouldn't have been an out. But it's just those types of flair plays that rub some people the wrong way. I personally kind of like it. And Uncle Ralph, you look at all the young talent, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Manny Machado, Yasiel Puig, all these guys under the age, I think all under the age of 23, 24, and they play so hard. We went through a period where it seemed like it was popular. Like they almost, like the teams had a code with each other. All right, I won't run the ground ball out if you don't run the ground ball out. There was a period, maybe it was a steroid error, maybe it was right in there where people were like, I'm not going to run hard, I'm just going to hit a 3-run homer. But you see these young guys coming up now who play so hard, mm-hmm. who run every ground ball out. They play the game the way that I think it was supposed to be played and probably the way that it used to be played.
Yeah, you're entirely right there. You're seeing players be more aggressive like they were, I'd say, 20 years ago. And while we're talking about aggressive and teams doing well, I've had the opportunity this week, they were on TV a couple of times, to watch Kansas City, and there's a young ball club that's coming on.
Yeah, I think they've won 15 of 17 since the All-Star break, and they're right in the thick of the AL wild card race.
Yeah, they are.
How about
and,
that?
And they've put together some good young ball players and mixed in a few old ball players, and they're doing well, and more power to them. These franchises that struggled, and certainly they have since probably going back to the
1985.
80s. Yeah.
It's George Brett.
That's good. You know, give their fans, their fans have been rather loyal to them over the years, and give them a chance to have something to cheer about.
It's the George Brett effect.
Well, he quit.
They hired him as the interim hitting coach.
Yeah, and then he quit.
Oh.
But I think you're right, though. I think when George Brett showed up, that's what changed the Kansas City Royals season. Remember, he took over the hitting coach job when they were in St. Louis. And so I think even though he's gone now, whatever he told those young Kansas City hitters, they listened and they are executing it because they're hitting now.
Yeah.
They're hitting now.
Who... If you was a young ball player today, Tim, and you, okay, we're talking about Kansas City, and you was on Kansas City, and George Brett was talking to you, I believe I'd listen to him.
How could you not? And George Brett must, I mean, obviously a lot of times great players don't necessarily make great coaches. We've seen a long list of those, no matter the sport. I remember the stories about Ted Williams.
Yeah.
He just couldn't understand how guys couldn't just do it. Just hit it. That's what I did. Just hit it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't just hit it. I'm not Ted Williams.
No.
So for an all-time great like George Brett to be able to go down into a hitting coach capacity and teach the game, you know, teach different strategies and different techniques, for him to be able to do that and for it to get through to the players, that just speaks volumes about George Brett's ability, not only knowledge of the game, but the ability to get through to the player. I mean, that's impressive on his part.
And George Brett came from a family. The Brett family, he had a brother who was a pretty good ball player. You know, so.
Of course, every time I think of George Brett, Uncle Ruff, though, I think of him charging out of that dugout at Yankee Stadium in the Pine Tar home run. He looked like a crazed animal running out of there. You know, if I'm that umpire, I'm going the other way. I don't want – no, I changed my mind. Home run. You got it. You win.
Yeah, it's and it's good, as you said, time for a break, I guess. But come back. We'll talk a little bit about the young ball players today.
Back with more Sports Saturday in just a moment.
With all the activities of the summer, you don't want to spend extra time in the kitchen. Plan quick-serve meals with farmer-owned Prairie Farms milk and dairy products, which provide about 75% of the calcium you need each day and are available in convenient plastic pints. With non-fat cottage cheese, sour cream, yogurt, and fat-free half-and-half, you'll get the calcium you need without adding extra calories. Make Prairie Farms milk and dairy products a part of your summer meal and taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
If you have an injury that needs rehabilitation, you need to consider the therapists at Teamwork Rehab. Teamwork Rehab's Hillsborough location offers the only aquatic therapy in Montgomery County. Aquatic therapy provides effective therapeutic treatment for those who have limited tolerances for traditional land-based rehab. Our therapists in this program hold a variety of certifications in specialized aquatic therapy. At Teamwork Rehab, you'll always get one-on-one individualized therapy by a licensed clinician. Give us a call at 532-4160. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 80 degrees. Mostly clear for tonight. It will be a little bit cooler. We'll have a low of around 60. Heading into tomorrow, sunny skies will have a high Sunday of around 85 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Mostly clear skies. Expect highs in the low 80s. The lows will be of around 60 degrees. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 75 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you this time by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobin, thank you very much. And forgot to mention one thing about that Jack Clark thing. He also accused Justin Verlander of using performance-enhancing drugs. And his reason? Well, because he used to throw like 97 all the time, and now since he signed that contract, he's only throwing like 93 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a pretty good reason. Did it ever occur to him that maybe he's pacing himself?
Yeah.
Isn't that possible?
Maybe he's got a little smarter over the years and pacing himself
right.
And looking towards what all ball players look towards the offseason.
Exactly right.
And in the playoffs.
So that unbelievable that you're going to accuse those two guys of that with essentially no proof. But he's canned now, so we'll see what happens, Jack. But I wanted to make mention of that. He did also include Justin Verlander in his accusation. So
could be could be a little case there of being out in the middle of the ocean, falling out of the boat and can't find the boat, you know.
He's hanging onto a piece of driftwood right
now. And unfortunately, news media grabbed that stuff up real quick.
Oh, real quick. That became a national story quick. It was in the Post-Dispatch yesterday morning, and then by the afternoon, it was all over every national media outlet. So we've talked about that enough today. I think people know where we stand. But before we went to break, Uncle Ralph, we were talking about the great influx of young talent in Major League Baseball and how this whole group, Trout, Harper, Machado, Puig, they play the game the right way in terms of they play hard all the time.
And I think we can add another group into that mix, and they may not all be young guys, but another group we can throw into that mix is the Japanese ball players come over, especially the pitchers.
Yeah.
They seem to be doing, you know, they're stronger and better than they were in the past. But I think all ball clubs now have said, hey, the Yankees did it for a few years and got by with it, but we can't buy a World Series. We're going to have to build and make the players that can win that World Series. And I think a good example of that's the Cardinals. They've brought up some, when Albert left, they brought up some good young players. They got Alan Craig and Freeze and these guys they've threw a few veterans into that mix that they've went after. And of course, we have our favorite defensive outfielder out there.
He's fabulous.
Yes, fabulous. He is. Yeah.
Gold Glove caliber.
Yeah.
He's basically Roberto Clemente 2.0 out there.
Yeah,
He's awesome.
Something like that.
But, Graf, you mentioned the Angels, and you were talking about teams trying to buy championships. Obviously, the Angels have become the poster child for that not working. But when you look at the young talent they gave up, remember, they traded for Zach Greinke last year, didn't re-sign him, so they basically had him as a rental player for a few months when they missed the playoffs anyway. They gave up Gene Segura, that young – we should include him in the list of young players. He's, of course, the Brewers' shortstop who looks phenomenal. The Angels gave him up. They also gave up Patrick Corbin, who's had an all-star caliber season for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they gave up another pitcher that's throwing for Arizona. His name eludes me at the moment. But they gave up three young stud players who are going to be club-controlled for a long time in order to get – veterans.
Yeah.
And how's that working out for them?
Yeah, it hasn't worked out real well. And there again, maybe they didn't look at what side of the hill those veterans was on when they traded for him. Was he still coming up the hill or was he going down the other side? And, once you start down the backside of that hill, you pick up a lot of momentum.
And it only takes one idiotic owner to dish out the money. You saw it with Tom Hicks in Texas when he gave A-Rod that first $252 million deal. I mean, that was $100 million more than anyone in any sport had ever gotten, but it was one guy.
Yeah.
And that completely set the market. You saw Pujols referencing that contract whenever he was in his negotiation. So one idiotic owner can really blow up and really blow up the curve for everyone else. And like this Artie Moreno, he thinks, well, I can do it. It'll work for us. And, in 5 years from now, there'll be another owner. We don't know who it is now, but in 5 years, he'll think, well, it didn't work for the Angels.
Yeah.
It didn't work for the Blue Jays. Oh, but it'll work for my club.
Yeah.
It only takes one owner to decide, you know what? I'm going to do it. And you're going to continue to see guys in their 30s get these long deals because it only takes one owner to do it.
Yeah. And getting back to the Cardinals and their woes right now, we failed to mention a while ago, and I think it's very important in how the Redbirds go, and that's Yadier Molina's not in there.
That's a big difference. You look at that lineup, it's completely different without Yadi. Cruz has done a very nice job defensively handling the staff. He's gotten some clutch hits for him, but he's not Yadi. Everyone knows he's not Yadi. He knows he's not Yadi. He's done a nice job filling in, but the Cardinals need their MVP back.
Yeah, when they get into September and go down the stretch, they need Molina behind the plate to not only guide the pitching staff, but to add the rest of his game, his ability to get the base hit when he needs it, and his ability to keep that runner on first base instead of being on second base.
Maybe just flat out pick him off first base, too. Yeah. And he's so clutch, Uncle Ralph. Like, I've felt this for years, even when Albert was there. As long as a double play isn't a possibility to end the inning, I want Yachty up with the game on the line. Because that dude, he just knows how to put the bat on the ball and find a hole in a clutch situation.
Or at least put the ball in play. Yeah. Don't go back to the dugout with your bat on the shoulder because you took strike three. And, yeah, he's probably the biggest cog on that team, including Wainwright and some of the aces of the staff, because he just does it all.
You start thinking about Yachty. Think about what he can't do, what he can't do. The only thing that I can think of that he can't do is run at a normal human speed. I mean, I love Yachty.
He's got catcher's legs.
He's one of my favorite players of all time. But he has got to be the slowest professional athlete ever.
He's got catcher's legs.
I mean, ever. I mean, I would like to see a foot race between Yachty and an offensive lineman in the NFL. I think the lineman would win.
Very well could.
I mean, he's just so slow. And that's you're a really good ball player when really the only knock that people could come up with as far as your athletic skill is, he's just slow. Think how different he'd be if he was average speed.
And coaches will be quick to point out to you that that's the one thing they can't teach you to do is run.
Right. But, you know, he's slow, but he's a good base runner.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great base runner.
He's a great base runner, Tim, because of one knowledgeable thing. He knows he's slow, so he runs
sometimes
the bases according according to what his ability is.
I don't know if I could totally agree with that, Algro, because I swear sometimes he thinks that he's Vince Coleman.
Well,
he'll take off.
I've seen that too, but I've also seen times when he hollered "Whoa!" because he realized that he couldn't. Probably 24 of the other guys would have stretched that into a double, but he knew he couldn't.
Right. What I like about his base running are his instincts. We talked about him being so slow. He'll steal 10 bags a year because the pitcher will just forget about him because they know he's slow. Everybody in the diamond knows he's slow. There's no way he's going to steal, and then he steals a bag.
Yeah.
He'll take the extra bag. But it's all instinct. I don't care how fast you are as a base runner. To me, speed does not make a base runner. Instincts make a base runner. Matt Carpenter is an awful base runner. Awful base runner. He's got decent speed, but that dude has terrible instincts on the base pass, I think.
Well, and you could be right. I've never watched him all that much, but you can usually, when a base runner hits the ball, the good base runners knows this is a single or I'm going to make a double out of this or whatever.
Yeah, but the Cardinals as a team are a poor base running club. They make a ton of outs on the bases. You know, they try to take an extra base when they just should flat out not try to do it. They're an awful base running team. Terrible base running team. Whether it's getting lined off, doubled off on line drives, or just there's a variety of ways to be a bad base running team, and the Cardinals seem to excel in all of those areas.
Well, it'll be an interesting, what do they got left? 50-some games?
I don't think they got that many. I think they got high 40s left.
Have they?
As Yogi would say, Uncle Ralph, it's getting late early.
Yeah, it's getting late early.
There's a lot of time left, a lot of games left, but yet you're four back. We're getting to be in the middle of August now. You better start playing some good ball. They've been in a bad way for about a month now. They're basically a .500 club the last month and a half.
Yeah. You're getting to the point in season now. You're only four games out, but four games, if you don't win when the other team loses and you stay four games or you get up to five games, then that's...
Well, last night, Pirates get blown out in Colorado. You've got the Cubbies on your home field, and you can't even scratch out a run.
No.
You know, that was a perfect opportunity last night to pick up a full game on the Pirates. But really, the division is probably going to come down to that series next week at Busch Stadium, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Three games with the Pirates in town. Cardinals going to need to sweep. After losing last night, they need to win these next five games. They need to beat the Cubs the next two nights, have an off day, feel good about yourself, come back, sweep the Pirates. That's what they need to do. Obviously that's what they need
to do. We're about out of time, but when we was talking about young ball players a while ago, and a young ball player that impresses me, he's in St. Louis right now, is that young first baseman of the Cubs, Rizzo.
Yeah, he looks like a good one.
He looks like a keeper.
You look at the Cubbies. They're doing things. Well, I told Tom Williams this the other day. He's a huge Cubs fan, our night guy. In my opinion, the Cubs will win the World Series before the Cincinnati Reds do. The Reds think that they're the championship caliber club. They're built to win the World Series. I don't think so. They got nice talent, good regular season club. The Cubs will win a World Series before the Cincinnati Reds. That's my prediction.
You look at the Cubs lineup that they put on the field last night against Cardinals, and you say, who are these guys? They're DeJesus and Rizzo, and there's a few of them that's recognizable.
Castro.
But I think they're headed in the right direction.
We are running out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and Football Friday will be here before we know it. 3 weeks from today, we'll be talking to high school football coaches about week one. The high school football season.
And what they did and why they didn't.
That's exactly right. Cards, Cubs, tomorrow afternoon, 12:20 on WSMI AM 1540. We are out of time. For Tobin, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim.